Mike Hyka from the Dallas Morning News joins us. The difference, of course, Dallas scores way more goals than the Oilers. But, Mike, they obviously can't be happy with them giving up so many goals. You know, this is very, kind of anti-Lindy Ruff type of team. Are they just simply not that good on the blue line?
It's more complicated than that. The goaltending has been subpar, to be sure. Kari Lehtinen has not been near what he was the last 2 years. And then, obviously, the backup goalies have – I don't think they won a game. That's a huge problem. Then you move to the blue line, and they have been a mixed bag. They broke camp with four defensemen who are not here right now. Sergei Gonchar, Patrick Nemeth, Brendan Dillon, and Kevin Connaughton. And for varying reasons – those guys are gone. They've added Jason Demers from San Jose and sent Dillon out there. They've added Jyrki Jokipakka and John Klingberg, who are young players who they have high hopes for. And so it really has just been a rotating door back there, and they don't have the chemistry they had last year. Last year they had really set pairs in Daly and Goligoski and Jordy Benn and Dillon, and then Patrick Nemeth came in and was really good in the playoffs. And so that kind of all went out the door when, some of the guys got hurt. And so they've been slowly trying to adjust to new pairs. And then up front, in adding Spezza and Hemsky, they have added two players who not that great on defense, yeah, as forwards go. And so, again, it's just one layer after another. Okay, if you're playing a second line 17 minutes, well, last year that second line was Cody Eakin and Antoine Roussel and Ryan Garbutt, and this year that line is Jason Spezza and Alex Hemsky. Well, that's 17 minutes. You're not as good defensively with your forward group. Then you slide down and say, okay, well, now your defense pairs don't match as well. Then you slide down and say, oh, by the way, your goaltender's not making the spectacular stops he was making last year. And so there are layers of why they are bad. And that's, the reason they're encouraged is because they believe they can repair every layer just a little bit more than what they're doing right now, and they feel that they can get back to being a fair defensive team.
I'm looking at Kari Lehtinen's numbers, a 906 save percentage, 297 goals against. Man, the problem is the backups in the seven games they've come in, they've gotten lit up significantly worse than him. So even if he's having a rough night, they don't have any other options right now.
Right, and when he has a rough night – and, there's another challenge either the next night or a couple nights later. There's no thought process to, let's just give Kari the night off. Let him work on his game. Because when they've thrown Lynn back or Runas out there, they haven't performed well. And that's been a huge problem. I will say the last game, Kari looked really good. Obviously, 27 save shutout against Vancouver, he was fantastic. He earned another start. Lynn back was supposed to start tonight, but because of the shutout, Kari Lehtinen earned a start against Calgary tonight. So if he can keep things rolling, well, that can make all the difference in the world. And then all of a sudden the young defensemen get confidence and they start making better passes. And all of a sudden now the forwards who are cheating to the offensive side are scoring goals instead of getting scored against, and on it goes. So we'll see what happens.
Tyler Seguin individually is having a great season offensively. Now, how many games has he played center compared to wing?
I would probably say it's 66% center. Again, that's another issue. Is they lost Val Nichushkin. They've only had him for four games. They lost Patrick Eaves, who was actually kind of a nice little fill-in for Rich Peverley. They lost Rich Peverley, obviously. And they've really been struggling to find a right wing up there. Eric Coles played there. Eaves played there for a little while. They've tried Hemsky, but that hasn't worked particularly well. And so because of that, they've moved Spezza up there and moved Seguin to the right wing, or moved Cody Eakin up there and moved Seguin to the right wing. Sagan's, what's funny? We're always on guard because of all the words that came out of Boston when he left there. But I really like him. He does not mind going to the wing. He does not mind going back to center. He doesn't mind doing it in the middle of a game. He's a very low-maintenance type of superstar, and that he'll do basically whatever Lindy Ruff tells him to do. And he's become a better back checker. He's become a fairly fierce competitor. So I've been really impressed. I mean, you can sit there and look at all the situations he's been in, and his goals are coming from different areas of the ice and different situations. Some are blowing in on the right wing. Some are coming in as a center iceman, you know, on a breakaway. Some are, you know, as a one-timer in the left circle on the power play. He's a really versatile player, and so he can score from pretty much anywhere on the ice, and he's been doing that this year.
Mike Kaika joins us from the Dallas Morning News. And, yeah, he's very dangerous offensively. You talked about he does anything that the coaches ask for him. You know, his great offensive season, similar to kind of where Taylor Hall was last, it's kind of going to waste right now because the rest of the team just isn't pulling their weight.
Yeah, and you know, I think what their hope is that, you know, they still have time to fix it. But you're right. It would be really sad if at the end of the year, you know, he wins an Art Ross or he wins a Rocket Richard and you look in there, you know, 11th in the Western Conference. But it happens all the time. So, you know, it's certainly a possibility, but it would be disappointing for Stars fans.
What do you see the Stars doing, Mike? Are they a team that, you know, over the next two months, is Jim Neal maybe going to trade some guys off to try to acquire more of the future? You know, does he have guys you think other teams would really want? Like, obviously, Sagan and Ben, but I'm pretty sure they're not going anywhere.
You know, I think because of all the moves he has made already, like I said, they've basically got three or four new faces on defense. I think his plan is to sit still, let it gel, and believe that they're going to play their best hockey of the year in the next month or so. And if that happens, you know, then they'll move forward, and depending on where they are at the trade deadline, they would offer up players like Eric Cole or Sean Horkoff. If it falls apart, then I do think you look at guys, you know, core guys like Trevor Daley and Alex Goligoski, who, you know, if they're going to have to move and change and bring in young defensemen, then at some point in time they have to start looking at their 22, 24-minute guys and say, well, maybe we need to change these guys out. So it depends on where they go. His plan right now is to sit still and to let it gel and to hope that everything is much better than it's been in the first 2 months of the season. But if it continues or if it spirals downward, then I do think you could see some key guys being put on the block. Their core is pretty solid. I mean, Spezza, Sagan, Ben, Hemsky, those guys are all under contract. They're going to be hard to move. Even Kari Lettinen, I think, would be hard to move. So you're talking their top five or six players, payroll-wise, I don't think they're going anywhere. You know, maybe they could try and move Hemsky, but he's got 3 years at $4 million a year, and, you know, I think that's just a hard contract to move right now. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, his plan is to sit still, hope that they gel and then not do much and then, you know, adjust at the trade deadline.
One guy whose contract expires, had 6 points in six playoff games last year, right? In his last two playoff appearances, which of course were eight seasons apart, he's had 25 points in 30 games, which is pretty good. Sean Horkoff have some value? Like, obviously he's got a pretty big ticket, so they might have to eat some of it, but is that a guy you think they move?
Well, you know, it's funny on his ticket. He's got a $5.5 million cap, but he only makes $3 million. So at the trade deadline, you know, it's not a huge chunk of cash. But again, the teams that are wanting to add a player like Sean Horkoff generally are pretty tight against the cap. So I don't know how they make, you know, the cap numbers work in that environment. It's interesting. I believe the Stars really like him and want to keep him and might talk to him about one-year deals after this.
Yeah.
But if Sean Horkoff comes and says, look, we're not making the playoffs and I'd really like a chance to play for a contender, him and Jim Neal go back far enough. They have a Neal's son played at Michigan State, Horkoff played at Michigan State. They have a pretty long-standing relationship. So if Sean Horkoff said, I'd really like to have a chance to play in the playoffs, I think Jim Neal could make that work. And I do think there'd be a market for him. But again, at a $5.5 million cap, that is a tough move even at the trade deadline.
Oh, definitely it is. And he definitely has value, Mike. You know, he's very good in his own zone defensively. And, you know, he's proven that in playoffs he can elevate his game.
Well, and the other thing I think he proved is he played almost exclusively center in Edmonton. He's played almost exclusively left wing here.
Oh.
So he's shown some versatility there, too. And the other thing is he was moved up on the power play last playoffs and was actually really effective.
Yep.
So you've got a guy who can play left wing, center, fourth line, second line, power play, penalty kill. So he'd be a guy that any playoff team would want to have.
Yeah, well, he's good on the power play because he'll just go to the front of the net, and he's a good puck retriever, right? We saw that in Edmonton. He really helped their power play. Some of the fans didn't want to give him credit for it, but he was very good in front of the net, doing kind of the ugly work that not a lot of people look at. What's the update on Rich Peverly, Mike?
There really isn't any.
Okay.
He's funny because he got tired of talking about it. I mean, he got freighted out in a few press conferences, and he's really uncomfortable just talking about himself anyway. But he is around the team at home all the time. He works out at the practice facility all the time. But as far as we have been told, there's no update on if he will even be able to skate, you know, in a practice, let alone skate in a game. And nobody's really pushing it. And so we're just kind of all just sitting back and saying, well, if he plays, you know, that'll be a pleasant surprise. But I don't think at this point in time anybody is anticipating him playing. I hate to say that he's not going to play because I don't know. But I don't think anybody right now is anticipating him playing, you know, this season, and we're just kind of taking it day by day.
Mike, we will see you on Sunday afternoon at Rexall. Always great to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Jason.
Mike Hyka from the Dallas Morning News.